Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant, flying by the seat of our pants. Right, Chuckers?
Speaking of flying, you're like, let's go. I got to go to New York.
Yeah.
It's your birthday tomorrow.
It is.
Happy birthday. This will be after the fact, of course.
I can't believe you're bringing this up.
So you got a little birthday trip planned. That's very nice.
You mean to take me to New York?
Nothing like a weekend in New York to
celebrate
anything.
I'm very excited about it.
Cool.
I'm giddy.
Well, you should be.
Yeah. And we were just in New York. But
where
it wasn't
staying?
Quite the same. Yumi didn't come with, did she?
No.
We are staying at a friend's place.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, we have some friends in Brooklyn.
Well, should you say his name?
Adams?
Yeah, at Adams'
house. Okay. Adams.
Cool. Tell Adam I said hello.
Yeah, I will. Adam and Serena's now.
Oh, well, good for them.
That's a lot of info. Might as well give out their address, social security number, that kind of thing.
Right.
Chuck, we should probably get started, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
You enjoy a good sweat, right?
That has been determined.
You know about sweating.
Actually, I hate a good sweat.
Do
it
you?
Plagues me.
I wouldn't call it plague. I think you have it under control.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm in the steam room, I love a good sweat, or the sauna.
Yes.
That's when you're supposed to sweat.
I like it, too. I don't like it either. I'm totally with you. Like, this summer's been particularly hot down here in Atlanta.
Awful.
I don't know if you noticed. And, like, I'm at this point, there's this boiling point, I guess, that I've been hovering around for, like, the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Where, like, if I think about it, I can make sweat just, like, burst out from under my pecs.
It's so awful.
And, like, all over my stomach, there's, like, a sweat trail, a horizontal one that I constantly have. I'm getting, like, skin tags, probably.
Right, and then if you get the nerves, you get both kinds of sweat, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, because there's two different kinds of sweat glands. Do you want to just talk about sweating first and then go into this?
Yeah.
Okay,
how about that?
Let's do that, Chuck. There's, you know, the average person has like 4 million sweat glands all over their body. You
okay.
have like 8.
I buy that.
Right? And they're divided into two types.
Eccrine and porcine?
Close.
Eccrine and apocrine?
Yeah. Epocrine.
Epocrine?
Eccrine and apocrine.
Yeah, I think crine.
You say, you know.
Yeah, don't sing that.
So the are both sweat glands, and you would think that you'd have, you know, like they'd all provide one function. They don't. You would be wrong.
That's right.
So eccrine sweat glands, I think, are more predominant. I think there's more of them.
Yeah, because they cool you down?
Yes. That's what they're charged with. Is
they don't cool me down, or else, actually, I don't know.
No,
maybe
do.
I'd be like really, really hot if I didn't sweat
dead.
Like I did.
You would be dead. Your thermostat is set high, and it's your hypothalamus, by the way.
Yeah.
That controls your body temperature, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gets messages, say, from, like, your skin.
Right.
That things are hot. And your hypothalamus is like, oh, well, I better activate the eccrine sweat glands.
And humidity, I reckon, too, because that's what kills me.
Well, humidity kills you because it keeps you from sweating.
Not me, man.
No, it does. It kills you. It keeps you from cooling off, I should say.
Oh, it keeps the sweat from evaporating.
Sweat
does,
yeah, so, okay. So it's like gets backed up.
Yeah, but it can be, like, 60 degrees and humid, and I'll sweat.
Yeah. The worst is when you get out of a shower and you start sweating immediately.
Oh, like you go to the gym and the shower didn't take.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Man,
I think that's a Seinfeld reference too, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, George.
Okay.
He had a shower that didn't take.
Yeah, okay, that rings a bell.
Yeah, so, I'll take an ice cold shower after the gym and it's still just sweat.
Well, it takes a little while for your hypothalamus to be like, oh, okay, it's cooled down.
Yeah.
Right? So your hypothalamus, if it detects that your body temperature is getting too high and needs to cool down, it sends a message to your eccrine sweat glands that says, start sweating, boys. And it's a different type of sweat that you're sweating than the stuff that comes out of the apocrine glands, right?
Yeah, it's mostly salty salt water, basically.
Yeah.
Or water and salts. But mixed together, you have salt water.
And electrolytes.
Yeah.
If you've seen Idiocracy.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
You didn't like it, you said.
No, I thought it was good to a point, but the one joke premise movie kind of got stale for me.
I liked it.
But yeah, okay.
But we did manage to work a movie into a sweat
That's
podcast.
Right.
The other kind, Chuck, is apocrine.
Yes. And that is usually in the... is it usually in the face?
The face.
Axilla and breast, like just period, or with this condition?
That's where it's most heavily concentrated.
Period.
Yes.
Okay. And the axilla is under the armpit.
Yes. That is your armpit.
Well, yeah.
Your axilla.
Yeah, it's not under the armpit.
No.
There's nothing under the armpit.
No, it's just dead space there.
That's right.
Remember when we talked about deodorant versus antiperspirant?
Yes.
Classic SYSK episode?
Boy, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. Well, we talked about sweat then, too, and apocrine sweat glands produce the kind of sweat that makes you stink, right?
Right.
So if it's just salt and water coming out of your eccrine sweat glands, that's not going to smell.
Sweaty palms, they're not going to stink.
Right. No, they don't.
You know, there's hyperhidrosis, period, but then some people get it so bad in their hands, you know, they have surgery.
Yeah, well, that's as far as we've ever progressed with the treatment of sweating, of any kind of sweat problem.
It's like destroying the sweat gland?
Removing them, getting rid of them altogether. Or, yeah, going in with like a laser, like pew-pew.
Yeah, I don't get the palms. It's my head and face, which is an awesome place to sweat.
Well, your palms are very hairy. I imagine if they weren't, they would.
Oh boy.
They would be far sweatier. Okay. So with the apocrine sweat glands, you're sweating out water. That's the vehicle that's actually moving the stuff like fats, the waste byproducts of metabolism. Just basically, it's a way to evacuate stuff from your cells. Outside of, it's a disposal system.
Yeah, it sounds gross though when you say fats and wastes.
Right. Well,
coming through your skin.
Yes. And those don't stink in and of themselves. It's the bacteria on your skin, the local flora.
Mm-hmm.
No, the local fauna, that eats those fats and then creates the stink as excrement. So you stink because of bacteria excrement. That's what that is.
Yeah.
So you've got both of these, and both of them are capable of a condition, a very, very strange condition, called chrome hydrosis.
I'd never heard of this. And I thought I knew everything about sweating. And the reason I didn't know anything about it is because it is really, really, really rare.
Yes.
Like, well, this is the alien hand syndrome of bodily fluids, I would say.
Yeah, of sweating, at least.
Of sweating.
There's a lot of weird bodily fluids going on.
Syndromes.
Yeah.
This is when, drum roll, although you know the title, is when your sweat is colored.
Yeah.
And I thought I had it bad. But
no,
at least
can
I'm
you
not
imagine?
Sweating green.
That's really what it is. This condition, chrome hydrosis, is painless. It doesn't lead to any other conditions.
It's benign.
It's totally benign.
Yeah.
It's strictly embarrassing. It's debilitating, I imagine. You can't wear certain clothes. You certainly can't wear white because all of a sudden, like, you have two large orange circles where your nipples are.
Yeah, because that's one place where especially the apocrine version takes place is very typically under the armpit and at the breast.
Right, and one of the reasons why you can remember that apocrine sweat glands are around your nipples because they are eventually converted into cells that deliver milk when you're lactating.
Right.
Well, not you. But, you know.
I told you I had a friend that lactated a guy.
That's right, you did. So apocrine can turn into lactating cells.
Right.
That's why they're around the nipple, right?
Yes. And apocrine, if you have this form of chrome hydrosis, you will sweat yellow, green, blue, black, or brown.
Yes. And why?
Specifically. Because the culprit here is something called lipofuscin.
I don't know if it's lipofuscin or lipofuscin. It's like lipid, like fat.
Yeah.
It's a type of fat that's been oxidized.
Yeah, and it produces a pigment.
Color. Yeah.
And there you have it. I mean, it's pretty simple, actually.
Yeah, mystery solved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to your physician and say, hey, man, why are my nipples orange, producing orange sweat, or blue, or green, or yellow?
Yeah.
He's going to say, I have a pretty strong idea that it's apocrine chromohidrosis.
I would say right away. That
yeah.
would be my. I saw the orange lady. Did you see her? I saw a PowerPoint someone had
the
done.
Nurse?
Was she a nurse? Was
no,
she the
I
orange?
Guess she wouldn't. No, orange. So this is such a rare condition. I don't know if we've said that whoever you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it was probably the first case ever documented, and that was like 2008.
Maybe, because it was a PowerPoint that some, I guess, physician had done, and it showed, she, you know, her face was blacked out, but it showed pictures of like her stained brassiere and t-shirts, mm-hmm. and it was just like, I can't imagine that. I feel awful enough as a sweater.
Right. I mean, you're a sweater plus color.
Yeah, exactly.
Which just fascinates people. You can't fault somebody when they're like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I'm sure that happens a lot. Like, all you do is explain away, like, oh, I have this weird condition where I sweat orange.
Well, apparently with this nurse that I mentioned, I think she was like 26 or something like that. She spent 5 months wondering what the heck was going on before she went and sought treatment. She had no idea. And I can't imagine sweating something.
Yeah, I would go right away.
And waiting like 5 months before finally going to a doctor.
Yeah.
For red sweat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of those guys who will like put off going to the doctor forever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But red sweat would get me in there.
Yeah. Have you seen the Gatorade commercial?
Yeah.
Where people sweat colors?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what they were. They weren't like, they should have had a tag at the end. To not
like not chromohydrosis.
Yeah, exactly. To not offend like the five people in the world that have this.
So, Chuck, we were saying, like, if you come in and your doctor sees that you have, like, blue sweat coming out of your nipples,
mm-hmm.
they're going to think it's apocrine chromohidrosis. You can prove definitively that it is by holding a black light up to the
yeah.
sweat, because the lipofuscins phosphoresce.
And what's that called? A Woods lamp? I'd never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I just call it a black light.
Yeah, because, you know, you have a basement.
Yeah, and I went to Spencer Gifts when I was 13.
Right, exactly. Do you have any Woods lamps?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's apocrine chromohidrosis. Acrine chromohidrosis is also equally well explained. It's always a foreign object, like a dye, or
yeah.
something that a person's ingested that somehow gets into the acrine sweat glands and then is produced.
Right.
Because the one common thread between these two is that the pigment is produced in the sweat gland.
Yeah, that's important because if you're a miner, a copper miner, sometimes you'll get a mineral mix with the sweat once it leaves the skin and it'll turn it
right.
blue.
Blue for copper, yeah.
Right.
But which is not to be confused with the blue man who
no.
Who took too much some kind of copper, colloidal silver.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
Wasn't he a senator or something, or a congressman?
Was he really?
One of the guys turned silver.
And this guy was blue. He looked like a blue Santa Claus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah, from too much colloidal silver. So, yes, if you have pseudochromohidrosis, it means that you're sweating a normal color, or colorless sweat, but it's reacting with something on your skin to produce.
Yeah, and they say get out of the copper mine and
right.
it'll stop eventually.
Right. Stop rubbing, you know, pigment on yourself.
Right.
But with eccrine chromohidrosis, you're producing pigmented sweat and then sweating pigmented sweat, but it's not from lipofuscins. It's from something else. And that nurse that I was talking about that waited 5 years,
mm-hmm.
And I think this was in the mid-90s, or the late-90s, she sweat red. And her physicians took some samples of, you know, her regular sweat
mm-hmm.
and, you know, compared it to the substance they found on her clothes and said, yeah, you've got chromohidrosis and we think it's eccrine. And
well, it would have to be because it wasn't yellow, green, blue, black, or brown, right? Well,
yeah, but we know so little about this that
sure.
If somebody presented with a case of red apocrine chromohidrosis, they'd be like, oh, okay, well, this is new.
Right, right.
You know? Because they don't understand the mechanism behind either of them. They understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Or they understand how it's happening. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand what's going on. They have no idea.
Yeah, and I think this, like, alien hand is one of those where they might be able to find out, but it's so rare, it's not like a lot of funding goes into this
right.
for research.
Right.
So they just treat it.
Hey, everybody, it's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
You know, speaking of alien hand, I found out about this thing. I wrote a blog on it recently about mirror dystonia. And it was like mirror neurons and alien hand mixed together, right? So like if you have this, your brain isn't producing proteins, this one specific protein that basically acts as like the switch. Like when you go to pick, I'm going to pick this up with my right hand.
All right.
Right? So both sides of your brain get the signal, but there's this protein that switches as like, oh, okay, right hand.
Right.
So this protein isn't strong enough in people with mirror dystonia, so they go like this.
Really? Pick up something with both hands?
Both hands, yes. Or both, like if they go to take a step with their right foot, they do it with their left foot too. So walking's very difficult
too.
That's
a jump.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
We'll have to do a full podcast on that maybe.
There is not enough on it.
All right. Well, that was it then. The mini-cast.
Yeah. So eccrine chromhidrosis, that nurse I was talking about, she was eating some sort of, and I could never find out what.
Oh, I wonder why you didn't
was.
List it.
I couldn't.
I thought it was for like, oh boy, I can't say it was right. Like a Keebler devil's food cake.
It had it was tomato based and had paprika, and it was a prepared food that she ate as a snack constantly. So the red tomato paste and the paprika were coloring her sweat. And that's where science is baffled. They have no idea how something
gets into the sweat
can
gland.
Get into your sweat glands.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. They also don't know why some people overproduce lipofuscins or their fats become overly oxidized until they become lipofuscins.
Well, eccrine is the one that you want because the treatment for that is to identify the culprit of the foreign food, or not foreign, but this whatever, the food that's discoloring your sweat and discontinuing that food.
Yeah.
It's okay,
like, sorry, lady. You like the paprika stuff? The lady could have been like, you know, hey, to heck with it. I'm going to keep eating this. It's like
Forget
the best
this.
Thing I've ever eaten.
Fudge yeah. that.
Right. So, Chuck, if you, I guess if you're stuck with apocrine chromhidrosis, right? Or you love your tomato paste, paprika flavored,
whatever
prepared food product, right? That's my novelty throwing disc. Remember that on The Simpsons?
Yeah. they couldn't call it a frisbee.
Right, yeah. And I don't think we can either.
Sure we can.
If you like it so much that you want to, seek treatment, what are some of your treatment options?
There's this substance called capsaicin, which is the key ingredient to pepper spray. And it's and bear spray. And it is, from red pepper. It's a, just derived from red pepper itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like red pepper flakes?
Pretty much.
And it will burn you, I guess, if you spray it in your face. But apparently, as a cream, it can help treat the African version.
Right. And we should have said earlier, eccrine sweat glands are triggered by changes in body temperature sensed by the hypothalamus.
Right.
Apocrine sweat glands are triggered by emotion.
Well, that's why I talked about the nerves.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's this neurotransmitter called substance P that apparently is involved with the activation of your apocrine sweat glands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with capsaicin, for some reason, it blocks the reuptake of substance P,
yeah,
which makes you sweat less.
Yeah, see, mine work in concert, and I think most people that sweat more than usual work in concert, because, like, you get hot, and you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're headed to, I mean, if you're not doing anything important, it doesn't matter, but if you're going somewhere, and you're like, oh, man, now I'm sweating,
yeah,
and then the other ones kick in, yep, it's even worse.
Yeah, that used to happen to me in college. Like, I couldn't sit toward the front of the class because I was
really?
Just too self-conscious, and I'd start to, my scalp would start to tingle a little bit, and I'd be like, is that sweat or are there bugs jumping off my head? And it just hit this vicious cycle.
Are you sure that was going on?
I'm pretty sure.
College, bugs jumping off your head,
yeah,
tingling? Okay.
It could have all been some sort of dream.
I also, it's funny you said tingling, because I don't know if this is true, but I did see one account that said it's sometimes associated with an aura, like a warmth or prickling sensation.
What?
This condition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And that it happens more often in African Americans, and that the youngest age they found it in was an 11-year-old. So.
In apocrine or eccrine?
Both.
Huh.
Just the whole condition period, I think.
I wonder if, like, these additional things, like, you can sense them leaving your skin.
Maybe.
More than
know.
Just sweat or the standard sweat.
And I don't know if associated means it was, like, one of the cases or if everyone across the board said it. It was kind of hazy.
Yeah. And then we also talked about removing sweat glands is one treatment option for hyperhidrosis and chromhidrosis.
Yeah, and botulinum.
Yeah, Botox. Or,
what does
to
that
be
do?
Fair, Myoblock as well.
Right.
It's a toxin, right? And it affects the neurotransmitters that are involved in sweating as well.
Oh, the other one too, which is a terrible treatment, is to express the glands.
Yeah.
Because it lasts a couple of days and, like, basically sweat it out. But then you got to do that every couple of days.
Or you could just go to the sauna a lot.
Yeah, I imagine that would help.
And wear maybe like a sign around your neck that says, yes, I know I'm sweating blue.
Right. I'm with stupid. Have you ever had to express your dog's anal glands?
No, I haven't. Someone roughly told me, I don't remember who, years ago. And I was like, I'm not doing that. They're like, well, then you have to take your dog to a groomer. I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah, Jerry, ever? No. Have you ever smelled it? Anyone?
Yes.
It is the most distinct, awful smell on the planet.
There's nothing worse.
And it's exactly like when you smell it, you're like, okay, that's anal gland.
Yeah. Well, that's why they rub their bottoms.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
expressing their own anal glands.
I know. My dogs, they self-express. But you smell it when it happens, and then you see them cleaning themselves, and you're just like, all right, remember, no licks for like a week.
Right.
On me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
So, yeah. I guess that's it, right?
You got anything else?
Dude, there's so much. I don't on this one. But there's so much sweating stuff. I personally can tell you quite a bit about sweating, sweat glands, zits, all that stuff. I spent like a couple of months just writing about this stuff for a while. And this article came out of it.
I wonder if I never got zits because I sweat so much. I wonder if that helps keep my pores clean or something.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Changes.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
It also has to do with oil on the skin, and I think you're, like, my family, none of us really got it, so I think it's hereditary to a certain degree, too, right?
Yeah, and I think it also has to do with the degree of how sensitive your skin is.
Right.
Well, anyway, if you want to learn about that kind of stuff and sweating and read my article on chromhidrosis, type sweat into the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and it'll bring up a ton of stuff.
We should do one on acne.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Yeah. I'll bet some of our pubescent listeners would appreciate that one.
Heck,
huh?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I said, am I right? So that means it's time for listener mail.
Yeah. This is someone who's correcting us, and I'm just not quite sure how right she is. Mm-hmm. So we're going to discuss it. Hey, guys, I'm a fairly new fan of your show, but I really enjoy every episode. I'm dying to go back and listen to the older ones, but there are so many that it's taking some time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I just listened to the recent one about America's First Murderer. It was great. At the beginning, though, I think you may have confused or lumped together Puritans and Pilgrims. Pilgrims that came to Plymouth Rock in 1620 were actually separatists,
right?
Because they wanted to completely break away from the Church of England, whereas the large group that settled in Massachusetts, like 10 years later, was Puritan. They wanted to purify, reform the Church of England, not break away. The Puritans and separatists had some different philosophies and beliefs, so I think it's important to make that distinction. I am a history nerd, so I think those details are cool. Please let me know if I misheard or if I don't have my facts straight. Thank you, Rachel.
I'm a history nerd, too.
Yes.
And I don't know the answer to that one.
I looked it up, and I got a little confused, to be honest, because it was a little bit like that rectangle or square thing. Like, I think some of the separatists, or some of the Puritans were separatists, but not necessarily the other way around or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or pilgrim. I don't know. I got confused.
Oh, so you're saying some of the pilgrims were separatists, but not all separatists were pilgrims? One of those kind of things?
I think so, but
I mean, I could see it. That explains why there is the word separatists and the word Puritans.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it describes the same group. I think I would argue, though, that it matters so little at this point that lump them together.
She's saying that there were no Puritan pilgrims.
Okay. And well, we'll find out.
We'll either find out, someone will set us straight that really knows it, or we will just say, Rachel, thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Either way.
I'm going to go look.
Okay.
I can't let this rest.
Let me know.
Even if it doesn't matter any longer, I still need to know.
And it's not like I didn't care. I did look, but we're busy now. I didn't have quite enough time to fully research it.
Well, okay. If you have an amazing historical fact that's been lost to the ages of time that you want to tell us about, we're very interested in that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Send us an email. You totally should. You can address it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, And how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.